It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Faye Vorderlander, Executive Director, Alzheimer's Association, Central and Western Kansas. Welcome to Issues 2024. Faye, I always have trouble with that last name of yours.
Wow. Oh, you did a great job. Thank you for having me.
I bet you don't write checks anymore, do you?
You know, I kind of just signed V and then make a squiggly line. Yep.
See, we got some news this week about an advisory panel of experts endorsing FDA approval of the new Alzheimer's drug, the modest benefits of the treatment, donanemab, made by Eli Lilly, apparently outweigh the risk, and the panel concluded unanimously to go ahead with this. Have you heard about this drug?
You know, I just heard about it this morning. Yesterday, I knew that they were meeting about that on Tuesday. So this is just exciting news for us. This will be the third drug that's approved by the FDA that will help not just treat the symptoms of Alzheimer's, but actually treat the causes of that. And so that's why this month, being Alzheimer's Brain Awareness Month, we are really encouraging individuals to talk to their doctor and know the risk signs, and early detection is so crucial. And now that we have this additional drug, what a game changer.
So when we're talking about brain awareness, what's the first thing we should be aware of about this gray matter we have?
I know. It's like so much stuff, but yeah. Really, it's just take charge of your brain.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the only one we get, and we all have one. So that's one of the things that we at the Alzheimer's Association, there's almost 7 million Americans that are living with Alzheimer's. And in Kansas, it's almost 55,000. Like, I want to say, I heard the statistic, Kansans age 65 and older, it's like 11% of them have Alzheimer's disease.
When you mention those numbers, are those individuals?
Yes.
Okay. And then how many families and friends are involved?
Oh, I mean, my gosh. The caregivers alone, and I'm going to look up this statistic.
Okay.
I was telling Steve, I was like, I brought all my notes because sometimes, you know, these are too important to get wrong.
Yeah.
But we have 54,500 Kansans.
Yeah.
And then there's 89,000 caregivers.
Wow.
So, and they're providing and unpaid care. So you've got not only professional caregivers, but you've got daughters and sons and nieces and nephews that are providing unpaid care. And that's 125 million hours of unpaid care.
Wow.
So this not only impacts the individual that has a disease, but their family members.
So if you describe this medically, is it an affliction, a disease, a virus? Is it a disease? Is that what you
call it? It's a disease, and it's not, some people think forgetfulness, like, oh, you just, as you get older, you forget. Well, yes, you do forget things. That's the normal aging. But Alzheimer's disease is not your normal aging forgetfulness. It's forgetfulness that impacts your daily living. When I first started at the Alzheimer's Association, a board member shared with me, because I was learning about the disease, and he said, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you park your car and you go in and then you come out and you're like, where did I park my car? And a lot of us have that, like we were maybe thinking about some other things, but then you're able to retrace your steps and go, oh, I came in through produce, so it's probably over there. And then you find your car. That's normal forgetfulness, and you're able to retrace your steps. He said, if you go into the grocery store and you come out and you look at your hand holding the keys and you don't know what those are, or you look back at the building and you're not sure where you're at or how you got there, that's impacting your daily living. And that's when you need to really reach out to your healthcare provider and your family and friends and say something's wrong.
That's good information, because it's not, oh, where are my keys? It goes from there to what are these keys, I guess. And gosh, how many of us can make that that connect those dots and go ahead with that. So what then are the symptoms of, what would you say the initial symptoms would be in Alzheimer's? I'm looking at somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at maybe a loved one. What am I looking for there as far as what we can see from the outside?
So you'll see personality changes probably. It tends to be like if people are very social and then all of a sudden they start to withdraw. It could be because they're not remembering your name or they're not remembering things. And so it's hard for them to be social because they don't want to appear like there's something wrong with them. So they may withdraw. Or you may see someone that typically, you know, happy-go-lucky, and now they're kind of mean. Or I've heard this often, I've never heard my mom swear, and now she swears like a sailor. And just things like that, you'll see things where maybe they always were good at keeping their checkbook and they're very organized, and now they don't balance their checkbook, their house maybe is in a bit of a disarray, they're paying their water bill twice, they're not paying their cable bill, like certain things like that. A lot of times people will say you can see it in the checkbook first. Like I said, paying bills twice, not paying them, making erratic purchases and things like that. So I always tell people, if you notice these changes in a loved one, don't just like, oh, they're being eccentric or something like that. Ask them, are they okay? Do you need help? Have you been experiencing some other things? And you would be amazed that sometimes people are glad that you've reached out and be like, oh, thank you. I have been noticing these. And it's frightening.
Yeah, a lot of advances have been made, but isn't this always a terminal disease?
Right now, yes. There is no cure for Alzheimer's.
As you get down the road, you were talking about those symptoms, bizarre behavior, a lot of bizarre behavior.
Yes, and as it gets into the later stages, you'll notice, not for everyone, but some people become nonverbal. They can't speak. When I first started, I didn't quite understand. When I started my career with the Alzheimer's Association about 9 years ago, I was like, I don't understand how you can pass away from like forgetting people's names or things like that. But really, the brain is so complex. Like right now, we're breathing, we're blinking, we're doing things that we're not consciously doing, but our brain is telling us to do that. As this disease eats away at your brain, it's eating away at those parts of your brain that tell you to blink, to swallow, to breathe. And so that is how Alzheimer's disease, unfortunately, can take your life.
Well, that was my question. How does it evolve into the final stage? And basically, you just forget how to breathe or something. Mm-hmm. Is that about it?
Yes, wow. Unfortunately, and from what I understand, and I am not a doctor. I want everyone to know I'm not a doctor or clinician. But a lot of times, Alzheimer's patients will develop pneumonia and things because they'll forget to swallow. So then they can't eat, and so mm-hmm. they'll have to. Be fed other ways. But
what's the duration of a typical case?
So that is a very good question. And sometimes the progression can be very fast, and other times people live 20, 30 years.
Really?
And they can live in various stages. You can be in the early stage, and you can live in that stage for many, many years. And that doesn't mean that you can't talk or, you know, do any of those things that your memory is going, but you can recognize people. And maybe, you know, you have to, what I say, kind of do things that can kind of help make sure that, you know, you keep your daily routine the same. And, you know, that your family members kind of help you along the way. And when things do change, that you've made yourself notes or lists or things that you can, that can help you cope with this disease. And the association does have on our website, alz.org, ways that you can cope and live through the disease early stage, help for the caregivers. Also, you can go to our website and we can help you navigate those conversations with your healthcare provider. If you're worried that maybe you have this or, you know, you're seeing signs, we can help you know, these are things that you should ask your healthcare provider.
Can drugs prolong a person's life?
So right now,
or just deal with the symptoms, or can they actually prolong life?
So right now, these drugs, especially, you know, we have the third one now that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, right.
They are actually going after what I call the plaques and tangles in your brain that are like starting to eat away at it. And what they're doing is slowing that progression down.
Slowing it down. Okay.
So if we can give people more time, which is really what we all want. We want more time with our loved ones, more time with our family and friends. And so if we can slow that progression down to give people 5-10 more years, how wonderful would that be? And so while it won't, in layman's terms, it's not going to reverse what's happened,
right,
but it will slow the progression down. So when we talk about early detection, that's why we're like, it's so important. Don't just blow it off when you're starting to see these symptoms. Like, go to your doctor and say, I'm seeing these symptoms. I want a cognitive assessment, excuse me. And I tell people, you're your best advocate. You and your family are your best advocate. And so if your doctor's like, well, let's talk about it in a year. No, I want to talk about it right now. And so
you can be insistent on something.
Yes, like, be insistent. And you don't have to be rude or mean, but you can be like, no, let's have the conversation right now. I feel, you know, I'm having this. Maybe you have it in your family or you've seen it and you're like, I know my body and I know that this isn't just I didn't get enough sleep last night.
Does insurance cost cover the cost of this?
So one of the things last year, when the drug Aduhelm and Aduhelm and Leqembi came out, CMS, it was so exciting to have these drugs approved. But then CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, were not covering them. And so we were like, well, that's not great. Yes. And so one of the things I appreciate about the association was not only were we pushing to have these drugs approved, when we found out that they weren't covered, we were like, all right, the fight's not done for us.
Yeah.
And so we held rallies all over the country. We had one here in Kansas just about a year ago, actually, to date. And I'm proud to say that several months ago, CMS does cover these Alzheimer's treatments and things like that. So that's exciting because you don't want to have a drug out there that people can't afford. And it needs to be accessible.
Right. You're listening to Issues 2024. On the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Faye Vorderlandwehr, Executive Director, Alzheimer's Association Central and Western Kansas. You know, Faye, Alzheimer's received quite a lot of attention when the late President Ronald Reagan was diagnosed. What did the president do to help educate people about Alzheimer's? First of all, he came out and said, yes, I've got it.
Yes, and so you're correct. I think that what he did was he put a face to the disease. And a lot of times, from what I understand, and, you know, back in my grandmother had this disease, and she lived with us from the time I was in the eighth grade to my first year at Wichita State. But back then, we didn't call it Alzheimer's. We said she was senile or she was getting old.
Right.
And so then you were kind of like, okay, well, when I started learning more about the disease and the symptoms, I was like, she had Alzheimer's disease. And so what Ronald Reagan did by coming out and saying what he had was he took away the shame of it. And you saw an individual that, you know, was very popular, ran the country, you know, the most important person.
Yeah.
And was saying, this is what I have. So it showed, too, that nobody was immune to the disease. And I think it just brought to light. And now we have others that Tony Bennett came forward that he had the disease. And Bruce Willis has a form of dementia frontal temporal. And so I think individuals that are brave enough to share their diagnosis really give the public just, I don't want to say the word comfort because it's not comfort, but they can see that, oh, wow, like this is happening. That doesn't discriminate. It's not if you're poor or rich or black or white. There is no discrimination in this disease. And so I think what he did was help bring to light and start these conversations.
So is Alzheimer's hereditary? Does it run in the family?
So just because your grandma, grandpa, mom, dad have it doesn't mean that you're going to get it. You have a higher risk potentially for having that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get the disease. And there are, like, we talk about modifiable risk factors, which are things that we can do to help maybe prevent the disease. And it's things like physical activity, don't smoke, education. Like, if it's good for your heart, it's good for your brain. Control your blood pressure. You know, yes, there are things like genetics and obviously age, but just because we're getting older doesn't mean we're going to get Alzheimer's disease. But age is one of the bigger factors. But just your social and mental activity, those things that you can control, your diet and things like that. I always kind of say, I want a little bit of control. And if I can help with those things, like, let me give myself a fighting chance.
Sure. What about, you mentioned, how about race and gender? Does this affect, is pretty much an equal opportunity virus or a disease, I guess?
So, unfortunately, it is, I mean, anybody with a brain has the risk. African Americans are twice as likely to develop the disease, and then the Latino population is 1.5 times more likely. And those are things that right now we talk about clinical trials, and that's where we just need more people to participate in clinical trials and more people of diverse populations so that we can understand why this is happening. And I was reading some things today, and right now we need approximately 55,000 volunteers for more than 180 clinical trials. And to be part of a clinical trial doesn't mean that you have the disease. They're looking for people that have the disease, healthy volunteers, caregivers, and we have a program called Trial Match where you can go on and you fill out this questionnaire, and then you're put in this pool, and if there's a clinical trial that maybe matches some of the answers, they give you a call, and if it's something that you want to participate in, you can. If it's something that you're like, that's not really what I was looking to participate in, you can decline. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that we kick you out of the database. We, if we find one that maybe fits your needs and what have you, then, you know, we can call. But I would encourage people to look up. It's called Alzheimer's Association Trial Match. Okay. And I mean, I've have my name in there. And I know a lot of my board members have done the same. And so it's just, we're never going to learn more about the disease if we don't have folks participating in clinical trials.
What age does Alzheimer's usually surface? Is there a, can you target that?
So there's early onset Alzheimer's disease, which I met an individual that was in their early 40s diagnosed with that. Usually early onset is a little bit harder to diagnose, because you're not really expecting someone in their 40s to have Alzheimer's disease. And so when we talked about be your best advocate, you know your body. And so when you're at an earlier age where that maybe isn't the first thing that comes to mind, you still need to advocate for yourself. But age is a factor. And 1 in 3 seniors will pass away from some kind of cognitive impairment.
Yeah.
And I think, what was it? I said 11% of those over the age of 65.
Wow.
So.
What, can you assess the economic impact of Alzheimer's in terms of, I guess, lost work, loss of tax revenue from patients and things like
medical expenses? Oh, definitely. This disease will bankrupt us. And I'm going to look down at my notes because these are numbers that are just amazing. So it says in 2024, Alzheimer's and other dementias cost the nation $360 billion. And that's billion with a B, not an M, a B. And we estimate that by 2050, these costs could rise to nearly $1 trillion. I mean, we talked about caregivers that are your family members and they're providing unpaid care. That's a value of $347 billion in unpaid care.
Wow.
And how they're doing this is, it does impact business because we call it the sandwich generation. I've got, you know, kids, but then I'm also caring for my parent. And so maybe I need to take off work early. Maybe I need to, you know, I'm getting a promotion, but that's going to be more work. So I'm going to need to not do that and maybe scale back on my duties. So that's costing the company. Or people, in some cases, have to retire early. And so what you're doing is you're losing that institutional knowledge, and that's costing your business as well. And so this disease, the impact is, you know, not only on the individual, we talked about the family, and then just the economy as a whole.
The community feels it. What's the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia?
That is a very good question, and thank you for asking that. So dementia is the umbrella term, similar to cancer, and then you have lung cancer, breast cancer, and those types. So there's dementia, and then you have Alzheimer's dementia, which is the most common form, 65 to 80%. But then you have frontal temporal dementia, which is what we mentioned Bruce Willis came out with and said he had. You have Lewy bodies dementia, vascular dementia that's sometimes brought on by a stroke. So there are various different kinds of dementia, but dementia is the umbrella term. And our association name is Alzheimer's and Other Related Dementia Association, but it didn't fit on the sign. So
sure. Well, and is the government doing enough to battle this disease, to help with research and so forth?
So we are, you know, part of what we do at the association is we have a public policy arm. And so we go to Washington, D.C., and we ask our legislators and our representatives to fund Alzheimer's research. And so they are doing that. I will say one of the things, and we do this not only at the federal level, but the state level as well. And one of the things I'm so proud of the state of Kansas for doing is we asked the state of Kansas for a respite program to where they could provide respite funds for individuals caring for their loved ones. And it passed, and it's going to start July 1, $600,000. And so families can, if you're a caregiver living with your loved one that has this disease, you can apply for some respite funding, whether that's, you know, help taking care of your family. You know, being a caregiver is hard. Do you need help with your laundry? Do you need help with housekeeping?
Sure.
Do you need, you know, things like that? And so we're so excited that the state of Kansas decided and passed this. And so call our office at 316-267-7333, and we can help. We're going to start talking about this and how you can apply and all of the things like that. But that's going to help so many families.
Do you employ volunteers?
Oh, my gosh. We couldn't do what we do without volunteers. So our chapter covers 69 counties within the state of Kansas, and we have 7 staff members. And so,
yes,
we need volunteers. We need volunteers not only for events, but we have what we call community educators. And what I love about that is, like I mentioned, we have 69 counties. And so if we get a request, somebody wants us to do a Rotary presentation in Hays on the same day in Independence, Kansas. They want us to come out to the library. And then Bird City has a program for professionals. I don't have the capacity staff-wise to be at all of those at the same time. But we have volunteers throughout these counties that can help us.
Okay, so how do people get in touch with you?
Oh, my gosh. ALZ.org/CWKansas is our website. Or you can call our local office. It's 316-267-7333. Or come by and see me. I'm by Milk Float in Delano, so we can grab a little treat.
Our guest is Faye Vorderlander, Executive Director, Alzheimer's Association, Central and Western Kansas. That's all for this edition of Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.